in business.
Sure glad you're here, Corky. I'd like to call the title of this message, If Anything Be Revealed. If Anything Be Revealed. This last week, I became really aware of the fact that our only connection that we have with God is His Word. We have a lot of suppositions, a lot of ideas, and a lot of experiences that people have had, but the only real relationship that we have with God is the Word of God. It's through the Word that we learn about the Holy Spirit teacher. It's through the Word that we discover that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. We don't have any other access to God. And we might have experiences. God might speak to somebody. Some things might happen. But the real access is through the Word. And that's why when the voice spoke to me and said, you have to look for me where I am, you know, that was a mystery to me. It's taken me all of these years before I finally began to realize that this is the only place that He is. This is the only access point that we have with God. And I had not been looking in the right places. And even though I had a lot of church affiliations and different relationships with a lot of different organizations, where I was looking, I was not finding what God wanted me to find. The devil has managed to corrupt the Word of God through private interpretations within the church after church. Private interpretations have corrupted God's Word. So when the Bible says we are born again, or being born again, not by corruptible seed, you can't be born again through private interpretations that are contrary to the Word of God, that are contrary to the Holy Spirit teaching of truth. And so God, people don't find God. They find ideas, they find theories, they find images, but they don't really find God. We need to find God God's way. We can't do it man's way. Man does not have the key, and that's why Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the door, I am the whatever. And He is a doorway into God. And we need God. We desperately have to have the relationship with God. See, we can't find God through the concepts of men. But rather, we have to hear only Him through His eternal words, through the by the Holy Spirit, in order to find Him. And so, what happens when we find God? What do we find? Well, you know what? God's ways are past finding out. God has to humble Himself to even behold the heavens and the earth. He covers heaven and earth. You can't be anywhere where He isn't. So if you find God, what do you find? Well, see, that had been the mystery. And because we want images and we want something that we can understand, people have, you know, they've sought out Eastern religions. I know somebody that spent years searching through Eastern religions to see if he could find God. And at the end of the thing, I mean, he finally passed away. But at the end of the thing, he was no closer than when he started 20-some years ago. And I can remember going and visiting his house and seeing on the wall plaques and pictures of, long-haired gurus, and I don't know what they were. But anyway, and this was one of his, this would be his latest, and this one here, that was his latest. And he was looking through all these fellows, reading their books and trying to find God. Well, the man, I grew up as a Catholic, and he was an altar boy, or is that what they call him in the Catholic Church? And, he did a lot of things as a boy, and I'm wondering if possibly that he ran into some a corrupt priest or somebody that maybe did some things to some of the young boys, because he had a dislike. There was a dislike for the Catholic Church. And, his parents didn't seem to have it. You know what I mean? It's kind of him. I'm wondering if something happened to him as a child. But anyway, if anything be revealed. Now, according to the dictionary, and if you want to find information, that's where you look. I'm teasing. According to the dictionary, a prophet is one who predicts the future. And they keep insisting that that's what a prophet is. One who predicts the future. But according to the scriptures, that is not really exactly the way that God portrays the picture of a prophet. The way that God meant it, and says it in many places throughout the scriptures, and especially in 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 14 especially, it appears that a prophet may be a teacher who gets revelation from God and then passes it on to those others that might maybe learn from whatever it is God passes on. Well, what has happened is I've discovered that we are rapidly, as a body, a handful of people, but rapidly becoming prophets according to the scriptures. And so, but in order to be a prophet, the Bible says, you know what it says? It says in 1 Corinthians 14, and it says, especially that you might, what's the first verse of 1 Corinthians 14? That you might prophesy. Especially that you might prophesy. You want the other gifts. The gift of prophecy is a vital, important gift because it does something that other scripture, that other ministries don't do. Do you know what it does? It enlightens. But if we had all kinds of people that are speaking up and giving the future and telling this is going to happen and this is going to happen and that's going to happen, that is not really what a prophet does. According to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, if anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. You know what's happening? As I'm sitting there, and I'm getting more and more and more of the scriptures inside of me, and as I'm sitting here, and you guys are up front, and whoever comes up and passes something on, a revelation comes along. A lot of times, things that I didn't even realize that. And I know it's the truth, because I got other scriptures that back it up. So I want to get up and share that thing. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. Well, we got a kind of a format at this point. Things are kind of done in a certain order, and that's the way we've been doing it. That's fine. That's fine. But the thing that is so amazing is the elements of truth that are coming out of the ones that get up in front. And so here we have a handful of people, and we're boasting and we're proud of what's going on. I say that in a teasing way, but the truth of the matter is, that sounds like Chuck, but the truth of the matter, he says that all the time, is that what is happening is revelation that is coming, that is not coming out of man. It's not coming from man. It's a deeper setting that has taken place than anything I've ever experienced. And so a prophet prophesies for the learning experience of those that are in the body. But you know what? It edifies. It builds up. It strengthens. That's what that gift is supposed to do. That is not somebody that all he does is predict the future. You follow me? That is somebody that is on an ongoing update of what God is now saying. As at the end of a service on Sunday mornings, I wish we had a service every morning. We can't do it because you guys have to work. But I wish we did on a weekly, on a daily basis. Because I think within a few months, we would be walking on clouds. You know what I mean? We'd be up above the earth. But anyway, and we without even being raptured. You know what? I have been so happy and excited at the position of God's word of truth that it has taken place within us, in our lives and revelations that God has been giving. You know, God has given us some unbelievable truth. Now, I keep saying something, and I know this is getting stronger and stronger, and it is because it's getting stronger inside of me. And the fact that we have come into this understanding by the mercy of God that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son as a man. And at first, I didn't really get it. I didn't see it from the Scriptures. But you know what? If you don't see it from the Scriptures, you don't got it. You have to have the Scriptures. But as I kept looking at the Scriptures, I realized something, that the man part of it is what is where salvation is. Salvation is not in a God-man. Salvation is in a man. And it's in the shedding of blood. It's in the lamb sacrifice. It's in the likeness of an animal. That we, you know, that this is what God is looking for. And so what we have is what I think. I think we have the Garden of Eden ahead of us. And I think there's going to be a desolate wasteland behind whatever it is that God raises up. And when God says that he's going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, if it's going to be righteous, is it going to be what we have? Is it going to be unity through diversity? Do you understand me? It's not even in the equation. That don't make any sense. If God's going to finish it and cut it short in righteousness, it's going to be truth. And the truth is not that we have a Trinity that cannot be understood from the Scriptures. Or that we have a man who is also God, who also can't be understood from the Scriptures. Neither one of those things. I mean, I have been in both organizations. I have taught in both organizations. And I look back and at the things that I taught, and I think, how in the ding-dong did I ever teach that and think that I was anywhere near on the truth end of it? See, truth was and is the real issue in God's economy. Truth is an issue. And as such, if and when he is able to find a people who will receive a love for the truth, I somehow know that God's blessing is going to be upon that people. If God can find a people who will receive a love for the truth, I'm going to say it again. If God can find a people who will receive a love for the truth, God's blessing is going to be on that people. And see, that's why when you see that scripture in Psalms 1 where it says, blessed. You know, blessed. Well, we don't think about it. We just read it. We don't think of what we're reading. You know, blessed. Meaning what? God is going to bless that people who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But their delight is in the word of God. And on that word do they meditate day and night. Are you following me? Where does the blessing come from? Who blesses who? God blesses that people. So is God's blessing on us? It's coming. I can feel it. Oh, I know there are obstacles, but you know what? I'm glad that we are beginning to understand that we are incapable of all truth. Because I got thinking for a while, you know what? The hour's going to come when we're going to know all truth. I don't think so. It's the love of the truth that pleases God. And that makes a lot of difference. I'm glad that every time I hear somebody say that, keep repeating it, keep saying it, because that makes a lot of difference. It's a love for the truth that pleases God. I'm not capable of getting the whole thing. Because when we have that love, then it allows the God-given teacher, the Holy Spirit of God, access to us. Once we lose it, or we don't gain it, or we don't have it, or whatever, then we don't have the right relationship so that we can move into the things of God. As soon as men begin to think they're able to bypass the Holy Spirit and turn to teachers of creeds and private interpretations and so forth, which is what we have, then the only one who is able to compare spiritual truth with spiritual truth is left out of the picture. The Holy Spirit, then, is bypassed. And so we don't want to leave him out. And going along with the fact that prophecy has more functions than just predicting the future is Ezekiel 37. Prophesy to these bones. and predict the future. Prophesy to these bones. And do what? Tell them a truth. Here's what. Give them the truth that is the truth of ages. It is a biggie. Tell them to do the thing that they haven't been doing. Because it says this is the whole household of Israel. That's what these bones represent. So now the reason that these bones, that Israel is dead and dry and very, very dry, is because they haven't been hearing the truth. So now, don't just prophesy to hear some words of men. Prophesy to these bones to hear the real word of God. Now, I'm putting some things in here, but I have a right to do it because that is exactly what the rest of the scriptures tell us. God didn't say, hear the private interpretations of a church. Tell these bones to hear my word. And when I heard that voice, I was a dry bone, and the voice said, hear my word. That was what I know. You know what? That's not what I heard. I said, you got to look for me where I am. And it took me maybe a day before the next thing I know, inside of me was all this understanding. I've been looking for God in wrong places. And now what he wanted me to do was to concentrate on especially in the New Testament. And now I understand why. And so, in this case, prophecy was to declare a life-giving truth to the house of Israel, or preach to them and teach them. And as such, whenever God allows people to get the revelation of reading and hearing only God's word, and being taught by the Holy Spirit of truth, then the ministry of that people is to prophesy. And that's what I said. We have the ministry of teachers. But if we have not the need for any man to teach us, then what good is a teacher? But we still have the ministry of teaching. And that's, I think, a number of other people got the same revelation about the same time I did. It's like one day I realized, you know what? Of course God has teachers. Of course he has apostles. Of course he has prophets. Of course he has these positions. But they're God-given positions by men that are in a place to do something with his word. It's not just throw it out here and somebody grab a hold of it and run with it, you know. Well, you've been in the church for 2 weeks now. You should know a lot by now. Let's have you teach. See, we are to prophesy to the dry bones to hear only God's word, and then they themselves and open themselves up so as to allow the Holy Spirit access to them. See, over the years, many have used the word of God somewhat righteously. I think we did in community chapel. I mean, we tried. We worked on it to do it right. However, probably without a lot of understanding. And I see now how we made some real dumb mistakes. And therefore, the time came, like the Galatians, when they traded the right way for what seemed good to the majority. This seemed right. You know, I used to listen to Don Burnett's messages, and again, I'm not picking on the man. In the beginning, especially, I think he was one of the best in the West, just a sweetheart. But the majority will just about always be deceived by the devil, even though democracy appears to have been the blessing of God upon America. It appears to be. And however, whenever rule by the masses or the majority reaches a certain point, then the devil will get involved until we see things like abortion and gay marriages being supported by the leadership. If there's anything that is a knife that cuts down to the quick and destroys a nation, it's okay in some of the things that we're beginning to okay. And at that point, the anger of the righteous Creator will begin to judge a nation. I think we're already seeing the beginning of some of the judgments upon this nation. I think the strange things like we see, the hurricanes and what we just saw, the unbelievable record snowfall on the East Coast. You know, and just the tornadoes and things that come across, and you know, and we've been pretty lucky, and I say that with tongue in cheek here. And anyway, some of these internal things that have begun to happen to this nation appear to be some of the judgments of God. And unless men turn to God and repent, like, remember, Jonah and the whale experience, he was supposed to preach in Nineveh. Well, anyway, Nineveh repented. And I don't think Jonah wasn't that happy because God saved him. He didn't want God to save him. And so as Stephen was about to be stoned, he told the Jews, he said, "You do always." And I thought, always? "You do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." This is in Acts chapter 7. And as I thought about that statement, and I realized that the lower nature of all men will resist the Holy Spirit. I have resisted the Holy Spirit for years. And we say, "Well, yeah, but you're still serving the Lord, and you're still whatever you're doing, you know, whatever it is." But anyway, what tells us why few there be that find it? And the thing is, that's the truth. In the end of the of this picture, only a few are going to find it, because Jesus said that 4 or 5 times. They say, "Is it true that only a few are going to be saved?" So then he gives them a parable. And at the end of the parable, you know what it tells us? Only a few are going to be saved. The devil works with the lower nature of men. And so the real child of God who gets born again, born of the Spirit, born from above, has to wrestle with his lower nature and the devil both in order to mature into a true child of God. Isn't that encouraging? We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. And so here you are, you're born again, you're filled with the Spirit, whatever. Now you got a wrestling match, both your lower nature and the devil. Is it explained why few there be that find it? And then to really complicate the way into God's kingdom, the devil is allowed to feed men with the private interpretations of false doctrines through the churches. Paul let us see the battle that he had with his lower nature in Romans 7. You know, that's basically what that chapter 7 is about. The battle of Paul's lower nature. "The good I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Who's going to deliver me from this thing? I thank God." But you know how many people, after as long as Paul was at this thing, who endured to the end, how many people are in that position and are going to say, I've completed the course, I've won the battle, Jesus Christ is still at my right hand. And so anyway, as such, God in his great mercy always makes a way if we want one. If we humble ourselves, if we acknowledge our weaknesses and repent. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. So God declared a way for us to find him, and it seems super simple. However, I have realized that what God has and is showing us is a great hidden mystery to a large church structure that does not even know that it is wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. Well, that's us too, but I mean, there's a whole great big church society out here that doesn't even know that that's where they are. Remember, that's what Paul told, Jesus referred to in the Laodicean church. See, you don't even know it, that you're wretched, And you're naked, and you're blind, and you're poor, and you're naked. You don't even know it. And so, their man-made creeds and doctrines stand in their way. The Jews basically said to Jesus, why do you keep finding fault with us? We're God's elect. We have Moses as our father. We have God as our father. It all boiled down to the truth issue. See, that's what it was all about. Jesus said, I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. And so when he brought the truth, they disagreed and they didn't like it. And they said, we get along without agreeing on our doctrines. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, I mean, they joined together to get rid of Jesus. However, their unity was full of holes. As the leaders were hopelessly divided over basic issues, does that sound familiar? Our churches are hopelessly divided over just the basics, non-essentials. Now, God exhorted us, through the writer of the Hebrews, to go on past the basics and go on towards perfection. I now realize that until the basics are established in truth, the perfection part is out of the question. If we can't agree on the basics, what are we going to do with the perfection part? In 2 Peter 3:16, it says that those that are unlearned and unstable wrestle the writings of Paul as they do the rest of the scriptures. They wrestle them, twist them. Does that sound familiar? I've learned to wrestle the scriptures. One of the biggest, I learned that in the Lutheran church, and I learned that in other churches, and I finally ended up learning to do it in the Pentecostal churches. And it says, unto their own destruction. And I thought, woofta. That's a good place for that word. And then in verse 18 of the same thing, 2 Peter 3:18, we are told to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another one of the verses. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to know Christ because Christ was a mystery. Christ is a mystery. And yet, we know that he's a man. We are to be baptized into him as a man, into the death, the burial, the resurrection of a man. And yet, he's a mystery because God has set him up as a mystery. And since true baptism in water is to be by immersion after repentance in the name of the man Christ Jesus, then is that not a basic issue? Isn't that a basic issue? I would guess there are some people who are baptized today that knowledge and understanding is not part of the equation. I would guess that it's not. I'm not sure, but I would guess that the understanding of why you baptize is not part of the equation. And so is that not an issue? And therefore, is it possible to be led into deeper truth when the chief cornerstone is not made out of the right basic substance? If the chief cornerstone is a God that God didn't bring forth, is that a good cornerstone or is that a bad cornerstone? Are you following me? Is that right or wrong? Does it matter what the chief cornerstone is made out of? Does it matter whether it's made out of one who has defeated the devil and won the battle and is like us and is our older brother, is the head of the church as a man? Does that matter? I'll tell you what. You start looking at the scriptures, you start looking at these promises, and I think, oh my word. Jesus said he overcame the world in John 16, and we are told that he spoiled principalities and powers and defeated the devils in Colossians. And then in Revelation 3:21, Jesus tells us that because he overcame, he was able to sit down in his Father's throne. just as I overcame and am set down in my Father's throne, as such, if we will overcome what? How about the lower nature and the devil? He made a way for us to do that. We can do it. Because now we know there is one. If we will allow, as such, if we will overcome, then Christ will allow us to sit with Him in His throne. And it's like, you mean there's two? Or do we? Is there a throne within a throne? And so, this is all part of the basic foundation for the God-given cornerstone that He, that the Church of God through Christ is built upon. This is all part of it. The understanding of these things. And when men allow the devil to change the identity and the makeup of the Son that God refers to as His only begotten Son, when men allow the devil... See, I'm going to do it again. 1 John 4. There is every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ... Let me reword it. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is a man is born of God. Is that not what it says? Am I using a little at liberty I shouldn't, Charlie? Sounds right to me. Well, it might, even if it sounds good, am I using extra liberty I shouldn't? That's what I'm saying. If He came in the flesh, is He a man? Every spirit that confesses not that He came as a man is not from God. Isn't flesh man? And that is the spirit of the Antichrist. So if we have somebody other than the man, Christ Jesus, we have the private interpretation of the devil stuck in the middle of it. I got to hurry. I ain't going to get through this. And so if the plan of God is changed to the devil's specifications, we could lose our eternal life. You got me? Understand what I'm saying? And if God brought forth a man to fulfill the impossible law and to overcome the greatest enemy of man and to perfectly do what the first creation of God failed to do, and we allow the Antichrist to subtly remove Christ's flesh out of our doctrine, then we build a false image within our hearts that resists the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Now, did I say too much, too fast? To those that are listening, you might have to go back and redo the CD. But anyway, we want to be led into all truth. Is that not a major part of all truth? The title of this message comes from 1 Corinthians 14:30, and actually is a major area of revelation to those with ears to hear and eyes to see. As such, if and when a people will begin to actually believe that the Bible is the only real Word of God, if and when a people will believe that the Bible is God's only Word, it is not one of God's words, it does not contain God's Word, it is God's Word. If a people will come to the realization and the revelation that this is God's Word, then we have something to build on so the church can be perfected. See, something begins to happen inside of them that is truly phenomenal. For instance, from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God introduces Himself. I didn't know that it said in God's Word that the Holy Spirit is the only one that is able to compare spiritual things with spiritual. I didn't know that. One day it's revealed. One day it stands out there just like a, you know, like a big bandage and a little sore. You know what I mean? It stands just right out in the open. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can compare spiritual things to spiritual things. The only one that knows the things of God. And I want to settle for teachers of the flesh that don't even have a clue? I don't think so. I want to go to heaven. I want eternal life. I want the truth. I can't get it from you, but I can get some good things from you in these services as God has given us more and more understanding. That's why I love our services. We're going to go on a little vacation for a couple of trips or a couple of weeks. I don't want to miss a Sunday. Unless we have a Sunday on Saturday or something, or in between, or before I leave. And so he's the only one that is able to give us 100% truth, because he's the only one that knows it. And while great, wise, and prudent scholars fancy themselves as experts on the things of God, for the most part, you know what happens? God hides things from them. That's not even nice. And he uses his Holy Spirit to lead and guide babes and sucklings into great revelations of truth. And so while the wise and the prudent scoff at the, quote, ignorance of those who know not the law, remember what they said about those following Jesus? He says, these people are cursed. They don't know the law. And while they scoff at those people, the people who have never been to places of higher spiritual education, Bible colleges and seminaries and cemeteries or seminaries, they actually become enemies of God and God's truth, even though they vehemently insist that they are God's elect. We are God's elect. We have Moses and Abraham, and God is our Father. And Jesus said, if you knew me, you would know the Father. But because you don't know either the Father or me, you do these things that oppose God. You hate me because you don't know the Father. And so it is not those who say that they are God's that are actually God's elect. It's not those that say they are, but rather those that God says are his. If God says they're his elect, they're God's elect. And so, if men insist upon elevating themselves and doing things their own way in pride, then God allows the devil to deceive them. If they insist on doing it, if they do always resist the Holy Spirit, keep on resisting. There is a way that God reveals to men who his elect really are. It's called confirmation. Not the kind we have in the churches. You know, that's not really what it means, but they use the term. For instance, in Mark 16:20, it says, God confirmed his word with signs following. And I'd like to add something. It was not private interpretations that he confirmed. It was his word. And so what do we need in order to be confirmed? We don't need it to be taught some courses in a certain church in order, and then at the age of 14 get a certificate of confirmation. That's not what we need. We need the evidence of confirming by God himself, who supports and proves that what people are doing are his people. And even though we are told that the kingdom of God comes without observation, would that mean without observation by everybody? Or maybe some people would observe it. Or do you suppose that maybe God's elect recognize the rest of God's elect? You begin to know who they are. I mean, the disciples began to know who the rest of the disciples were. As such, and as a result of the word of God's kingdom, of the word of the kingdom, and you know what? I'm going to just give you the verses. You can look it up if you hear it on tape if you want to. But in Matthew 9:35, Matthew 13:19, Matthew 24:14. In Mark 1:14, in these verses, I mean, you can write them down or Look them up. Listen to this again and pick it up. These verses call this word that we are beginning to come into the word of God's kingdom. Or the gospel of the kingdom. The same thing. The word of the kingdom. And either way, it refers to God's word in truth as the gospel of the kingdom, or the word of the kingdom, which should cause us to understand what happens to those who actually do receive a love for the truth. What's going to happen? You're going to get it. If you have a love for the truth, God's going to make sure you get the truth. Because we have been receiving a love for the truth, we're starting to understand the nature and the identity of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know what? Without bragging and boasting and patting ourselves on the back, there are not a lot of people that understand that. Because they're not teaching it. Because it is a hidden mystery. The devil deceived the nation, you know, the churches way back in the 3rd century, and he's had his hand on the majority ever since. You know what, though? I'm starting to think that maybe there's an awful lot of people that are open to be recipients of this. I got a sneaking suspicion that because, you know, we're going to take a trip with Beverly and Joel, and we're going to go out to Seattle and make a little tour in June. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to give me a couple of weeks of solid, nonstop preaching and teaching and ministering to my brother and my sister. And I'm anxious to have it happen. As much as I want to be here, I don't want to leave, it's going to be a good time. Because they're both open to these things, and you can do a lot of instruction in 2 weeks if you have them all the time. I could receive a lot of flack for what I'm about to say here. However, I seriously have my doubts as to how many in today's churches are a part of the real kingdom of God. I think that when we see the scripture where God says, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in, I think that there's a lot of people out that are not in the churches, that are fed up with the churches, that are going to hear truth, and they're going to come running with their arms wide open. You know what I'm saying? I got this sneaking suspicion. And so, I mean, churches may be building a kingdom, but it's not much like the kingdom that's revealed by Christ and his disciples in the Gospels and the book of Acts. Look at the difference in emphasis between the two. Christ and his disciples were determined to preach the truth at whatever the cost, and they locked him up, threw away the keys. It didn't matter. An angel opened the prison doors, and out come Peter. And then those faithful disciples are standing there praying for Peter, and when he shows up at the door, they don't believe it's him. That sound like us? And so, unity through diversity, which is the opposite, direct opposite of truth, seems to be the overall theme of today's Laodicean-type church that would rather fight than go only by their Bibles to see if what they teach is the truth or not. You know, I'd rather switch than fight. How's that old saying? Remember that? Well, they'd rather fight than switch. You know what I mean? So wise and prudent leaders who spend too much time listening to the devil through their other wise and prudent men, and that's what they do, they miss the truth because they never humble themselves before God and become truly converted, and as little children receive the incorruptible word of God. Because they don't do that, and lest we get too sounding too high and mighty in what I'm saying, except for God's mercy, it never would have happened to us either, so don't anybody get puffed up over it. As little children They have never received the incorruptible Word of God that was taught by the Holy Spirit. The only one who actually knows what God meant by what he said through Christ and the prophets. And so we are down to the roots of the Zion Christian Church Fellowship. We're right down to the basic roots of this church. Some people were not that happy about being subjected to God through his word, so they left. You know what happened? I hurt. I ached. I cried. I went through absolute hell when some people left because I could see. As I looked at them, I thought, oh, I know God's hand is on him. But you know what? You can't let go of God's word. Anybody that lets go of the word is going to pay the price for it. But God kept on giving us a love for the truth message. And so the handful that's left stayed with it. And then I slowly began to understand. It's not how many really begin to understand, but rather whosoever does understand will one day instruct many. And we have the facilities available today to do just that. With a television, with all of these things, raise a couple people from the dead. No, I didn't say that right. Let God raise a couple people from the dead. See if you get any attention. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do? God raises somebody from the dead. What are you going to do? You're going to bring in... can't think of any of their names. The Benny Hinn's? And get some good crusades going? You know what? That's the mistake. That's the mistake. Now we need to organize. Now we need to get something going. You know what? What you do is you got the... Now the door has been opened to preach truth. But you can't preach it if you don't know it. So that's why we have to receive a love for the truth and get, understand so that when people come in, we can teach them. And when God opens a door and heals and raises somebody from the dead, and the next thing you know, you look out here and the church is full of people. What are you going to do? Boast about your goodness? None of us are. We're not going to do that. We have a message. We're going to preach it. Hear only the word of God. You want to live? The whole house of Israel has had the opportunity through that vision of Ezekiel. Do people want to live? Hear only God's word and not all this other junk that you've been listening to. So anyway, if two or three are actually gathered together in Christ's presence, will he be there? Will he give them understanding of God's word? And so a handful of people who are daily eating and drinking of life-giving truths from God's word get together and share some of the most awesome things that this old dilapidated creation of God has ever heard. That's the only word I could think of as I looked at myself. I thought dilapidated, it fits. And which is now causing me to experience a new realm of faith in God and in what he likely will do. And I said it that way. And what he likely will do. I don't know what he's going to do. I thought for sure I knew. And now I don't have a clue. But you know what? He has given me the benefit of enough to know that he's going to do something. And I don't think that any of God's real word people are going to have an easy time of it or an easy exit. You know, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, you know, that's a 2 Timothy 3 chapter. It says that they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if we had an easy way out, it probably would be the exception. when I began to understand that God's Word reveals God's only begotten Son as a man, the flesh, I began to see the foundation for modern day persecution. You sure you still want to be here? This is the foundation of persecution that's coming. As such, most of the modern day church systems have an image built into them that makes them think of Christ as deity. They can't help it. And when God raises, and so it's, I think that God, what God's going to do is not going to come out of the church. The churches have been ruined. They've been spoiled. They've been indoctrinated with false doctrine so deep. It's built right into their systems. And when God raises up a people who cast down that image, 2 Corinthians 10:5, the image of Christ as a God, that is, all hell is going to break loose. Maybe that is why I was given that dream in which I saw a giant wall of fire all around us. I mean, wouldn't that possibly be the persecution? Why did I see a wall of fire? I can still see it. All you got to do is look outside those walls. It's right there. It's all around us. Big wall of fire. Would it maybe represent persecution? And if so, a people are made to realize by the Holy Spirit that the Bible really is the real Word of God? How many times have I said that today? 6, 8, 10, 12, 16? That the Bible really is the Word of God and it is the truth? Jesus said in John 17:17, He said, sanctify them through your truth. Your Word is truth. And I've come to the realization He's talking about this. And we have access to it. And so, what do you do then in the face of the Matthew 7 or the 2 Timothy 3:5 Laodicean type of people who are under the devil's deception? You say, well, okay, we'll join you. Not me. You won't be with me if you do, because I'm not going to do it. I refuse. I'm too old. I would hope that God would grant us the grace to stand with Him and in His Word of truth, no matter what the modern day Pharisees and Sadducees say and think. The Pharisees, how's that? The Pharisees weren't that fair, you see. And the Sadducees were pretty sad, you see. Anyway, you like that, Chuck? Chuck's sleeping. Generation after generation have left the security of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, and have turned to the leadership of men, who then become the targets of the mastermind deceiver. That's what's happened. Did you follow what I just said? And not having real spiritual discernment, many ignore God's words and therefore the warnings. They don't get the warnings. Beware of the devil. Don't be deceived by the devil. How does that say that in Peter? It says, don't be, it's in the 5th chapter of Peter, but I can't, but anyway, I'll look it up. And when Paul asked the Galatians, who has bewitched you? Do you suppose he didn't know? Of course he knew who bewitched him. Of course, the unseen enemy was at work then and now. And how about Galatians 1:8 and 9? And that's what I started with this morning. And that's what I'm going to end with right now. It says, even if an angel from heaven should come and preach any other doctrine than what you've already heard, let him be accursed. And the word, all it means is let him be cursed. God's curse is upon that individual. And my question would be, how many over the years and now have tried to hold a form of godliness and now walk under a curse? How many? And we look at the church out there and we look at the, they're trying to, you know, come up with programs. You know what? Community Chapel was no exception. And I won't get into detail on that, but